When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. It's the middle of June, so you know what that means. Not a lot of NFL news. However, we always have something to talk about here at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. So on this episode, we'll be talking about some mini camp surprises or names you might not know that are getting on people's radars. Some of the coaches that we like so far, the assistant coaches at least. And then just some reactions from the Entering the Den, the Lions series, and all the behind the scenes from the drafts. A lot of transparency. Man, we're just drinking a lot of Blue Kool-Aid here into this upcoming 2021-2022 season. So please, sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers! We are back. It's June 14th. We're recording this on, and you know, it's there's not a ton going on, but we are always ready to drink the Blue Kool-Aid, no matter what time of year it is.
Love Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah.
We got some of the Blue Kool-Aid crew here. So we got you, Jay.
Hello, everybody. I know it's slow, but gosh darn, we love talking about the Lions.
And then Rud Dog.
Yo!
And I'm Big Z. So what we're going to be talking about in this episode, we're going to be breaking down just some of the things that we've been seeing at minicamp, and then just some of the other news that's come out about the Lions, just and more about their just overall, I would say, transparency. we've mentioned it several times since the new regime has come in, but the transparency is night and day, and there's just some revealing things that came out that we just kind of want to comment on.
Yeah.
But let's dive into mini camp, and we're going to not necessarily talking about, you know, some of the bigger names, but some of the names you didn't know necessarily that maybe have gotten on the radar. I mean, we can't attend, so these are all just based on reports that we've read and seen. But Rud Dog, I know you wanted to talk about a certain tight end that has kind of stood out to you a little bit here early on.
I'll leave that to you, Jay's. Because that was UJ's guy.
All right. UJ.
That's okay.
We'll throw it to you then, man.
Came up in conversation today, and we were doing some reading and studying on some of these undrafted free agents. And there's a guy named Brock Wright at a Notre Dame tight end. Very unsung. Didn't get drafted, but I'll tell you what. This guy's RAS score was off the charts. I'm probably going to just paraphrase here, but in the last 20 years or so, he's ranked like 74th out of all tight ends tested out of like, what, 2,000 tight ends or something. I don't know. 900 tight ends. I don't know. It's a lot. Anyways, RAS scores off the charts. He's a big dude, can block. Only caught 6 passes at Notre Dame last year, but I guess in camp he's been making some nice catches. So I think this is one of those under-the-radar guys that we should watch out for. I think this guy's got a chance of making the team. Really beef up that tight end unit, you know, with Fells now and Hockenson.
Yeah.
I think this – and plus, you know, his ability as a blocker, he's a big dude, 6'4.5". 257. So, you know, this guy's going to be a load in the blocking game, in the run game. So, I think keep an eye on this kid. And he's big. He's everyone, all the coaches talk about him. They love this kid. He, great character and really tough. So, this is my dark horse to make the team here this year. So,
ooh, I like it. A little dark horse pick.
Yeah.
And RAS, in case you don't know what that is, it's a relative athletic score. There's like a formula that's done by this guy that kind of compares athletic testing over the last, like you said, 20 plus years, and then ranks them overall throughout the years. And
Yeah.
So that's over 2,000 plus athletes. And if he ranks, what do you say?
He was ranked like
74th.
Right?
That's really good.
Yes.
His good. Overall was 921. I'm just going to give you a couple like highlights of some of the things that he really popped good in. His bench was 26 reps at 225, which is real solid for a guy like built like that. He ran off. I've seen it low as 4.6, but on the RES, they have it at a 4.66, which is real solid speed for a guy who caught seven passes in college. Just really good splits on there, 1.6 on his 10-yard split, and then a really good shuttle time, 4.25. So this guy, he's a really good moving athlete. So,
you're the Notre Dame guys, well-versed in it more than me. What or do you know why this guy only caught six passes in his collegiate career?
Well, just a lot of competition. They've had some – I think two tight ends got drafted ahead of him, so
yeah.
out of Notre Dame, so – I think he just kind of got buried on the roster. I watched some of his you can only find his high school highlights on YouTube, and he was used more as a receiver in college or high school, and was the kind of guy who, despite his size, who could run away from most guys in high school. So
if you look him up, there's a good video of him going through a day in the life of a Notre Dame football player. It's really fun to watch. If you ever get a chance, just look the kid up. You'll see
who were the two tight ends? Cole Kmet. Who's the other one? I can't remember the second one for some reason.
I don't remember either. But this guy was definitely buried on the charts as far as a pass receiver goes. But I guess he's pretty effective in the blocking game. And the catches he did make were kind of standout catches. One where he made a move on a guy down the sideline and ran 50 yards down the sideline for a touchdown and outran the defensive back. So he's got some decent speed to go with it, with his size. So,
All right. I like it. I like it. And just the Lions tight end position. So Hockenson, Fells, you think those are probably locks. Do we carry three tight ends or four tight ends? Because they also have a guy named Hunter Thedford and Elise Mack also on the roster currently.
Yeah.
Elise Mack, some people like, is a dark horse as well because he's an athletic dude as well.
Yeah,
I haven't seen him get a lot of hype, but I just don't know too much about him at this point.
Right,
but, we got to hype somebody, and I'm hyping this guy. Okay,
I mean, are we expecting a lot of two tight end sets? Do you think we carry four tight ends?
That's a good question.
Well, that's the other thing. So they're talking about this guy as a potential competitor with Kabinda for the fullback position. Yeah. So.
Right, I forgot to mention that. Good point.
That's another way he might have a better shot to get on the roster than some of these other guys.
Yeah, because Kabinda's the only fullback that we have on the roster currently.
Yeah, so. He's not even a real fullback. I mean, he was a converted linebacker, but this guy, Bryant, or Wright, he also played a little fullback at Notre Dame on several plays, so he's done it.
That'd be quite some size from the fullback position then.
Oh man, can you imagine that? 6'4", 257-pound fullback coming at you for your linebacker.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that would be
big dude.
I'd love it.
Tommy Tremble was the tight end drafted in the third round, pick 20 from Notre Dame. So
oh, gotcha. Okay. Is there another name that you wanted to throw out there, Rudd Dog? I know you had one or two more.
I can't let it go that all reports are that Cephas is looking really good at camp, scoring touchdowns, getting good separation.
We heard that last year. Shouldn't he look good in camp now?
Well, I mean, he's doing what he should do, exactly. That's on his path to the Hall of Fame, he's doing what he's got to do.
Yeah, that's your boy, Rudd Dog. But I'll tell you what, I'm kind of on board with you right now. This is a wide open receiver group here. I think Cephas is gonna. I think he's gonna show what he's got this year. He's gonna rise to the top. I have a feeling. Look out for this.
I mean,
kid.
With our current crop of receivers, he should be a starter. Wouldn't you think?
I think so. I think he'll either be the number two or three receiver. I think because the one thing he has something that no he has a build and a different skill set than a lot of these other receivers on their roster currently. So I think whatever it looks like, he'll definitely carve out a regular role to be on the field, I think. So,
well, they've compared him to Anquan Boldin, and it's a legit comparison, actually. Boldin was 6'1", 220. This guy's 6'1 or so, and about 208, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. So really not that far off in size and differential and toughness. I mean, if you look back at this guy's film at Wisconsin, it's pretty damn impressive. And even Jeff Okuda said he was the best receiver he ever played against in college. So that tells you something. So, yeah, and with 1 year under his belt, he knows what it is to be a pro. And the word is that his route tree is really, really improving. He's getting really good. So, yeah, look out for this kid. I think he's going to have a big year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in the offense with Tyrell Williams, Breshad Perriman as well. I'm curious how many receivers will carry on this roster too. I mean, it's going to be quite a battle. Tyrell Williams, if he's healthy, will make it. Yep. Breshad Perriman, you think would. Cephas. Then the rookie Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Have you guys read a lot about him? I haven't read a ton about him. I know he's
not in camp yet.
I read a couple blurbs about it. Supposedly he's having a relatively solid camp, but nothing that made him stand out above the rest of them.
Not a concern, but just
He's a rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you see that Damian? Is it Damian Ratley, the little speedster we signed to?
That's
a receiver
name.
And kick returner potential guy. He was the other guy we signed, so I don't know where he'll fit in either, or if they'll just put him as a returner, but definitely a guy to competing for that, I think, the back end.
Yeah,
of
for
that
sure. And another wide receiver that's really come out in reports is sticking out is Victor Bolden.
Yeah.
A guy that's been on the practice squad a couple of years now, actually. Maybe it just takes the right system to find yourself.
That's what I was going to ask you, Big Z. What do you think about that? I mean, do you think now he's been in the practice squad for 2 years, and all of a sudden this new squad comes in of coaches, and all of a sudden he's standing out. You think that has a lot to do with it, or maybe he just something clicked in his head that it's time to get moving, or I don't know.
I mean, it's hard to say without knowing the exact facts, but some of these people, just are victims of circumstance. I don't know. Like, can you imagine if like Patrick Mahomes didn't like go to Andy Reid in Kansas City? Like, if he was playing in like
Detroit.
Yeah, or the Bears, like, for instance. Do you think Patrick Mahomes, like, without like a good offensive line, playing behind the Bears offensive line, could have had the same like
Tyreek Hill
success? No, I don't think so. At least,
so,
I mean,
either.
it's just funny. You got to be put in the right circumstance sometimes. It's a luck a little bit. So sometimes it just takes a while to find yourself, and maybe that's what's going on here. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and to build on that, like, my favorite example of that kind of guy is Jerome Harrison. Jerome Harrison? The linebacker, former linebacker of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who bounced around on, practice squads, wasn't on the team for a long time, and then turned out to be one of the best players at his position in the history of the NFL. Like, if these guys are dedicating a lot of time to the offseason to hone their craft, build their bodies. So, I'm sure this kid has been really getting after it. And, maybe it's clicking mentally, but it could be also physically.
Tim Boyle was describing Bolden here kind of on the same line as Quintez Cephas, like in terms of a guy that knows where to be at the right time in his routes. And runs like really crisp routes. He might not be the fast guy, but he's smaller than Quintez Cephas. He's 5'8".
Yeah.
So he's definitely got a little smaller size to him.
Hey, the Tim Boyle, by the way, since you mentioned him. You see some of the pictures of him? Like we don't get to see much video and all that, but I saw some pictures and I'm like, that guy's jacked, man. He really is.
Everything that I've heard from reporters about watching him out there.
Yeah.
Compared to watching Chase Daniel the last year or two as our backup.
Yeah.
It's night and day. Like, the arm strength, way better.
Yeah.
There's like actual zip on the ball now, I've read.
I'm actually reasonably excited to have a decent backup quarterback now. I mean, we've never really seen the guy play, but I just have a better feeling about him. Definitely than Chase Daniel, but good God. That was bad.
Yeah, I don't think did Chase Daniel find another team? I'm not aware of it. I mean, Tim Boyle's only 26 years old, too, so he's still a pretty young guy in terms of quarterback. So a younger guy as a backup quarterback, I like it. It's hard to know how good he is.
Yeah. And they still got that Blau kid too.
Yeah,
I'm curious. Right. You think they'll keep like three or two? I can't see him keeping three, really. But
I don't either. Maybe Blau lives on the practice squad again.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we have too many deficiencies in depth at other positions where we're going to want to travel.
Tim Boyle out of UConn. So, I mean, not a big football school, really. And UConn and Eastern Kentucky he played at, so he played at both those. I thought he was from Wisconsin from certain reasons. I don't know where I got that in my head. Maybe just because he's playing for the Pack. Yeah. I mean, he kind of has a look of like a typical Wisconsin quarterback. Maybe that's what.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, if nothing else, Green Bay fans are likely to leave.
Is that why Aaron Rodgers might leave Green Bay? You know, Tim Boyle.
That's all we put there with. Yeah, it's because Tim Boyle. Yeah, exactly.
Do you guys think Aaron Rodgers is going to play for the Packers this year?
My gut feeling is he will. He's going to hold out as long as he can. And he doesn't need to practice. So, I mean, the rest of his team might, but he can probably just walk in there and play.
This is the first time in his career he's missed any of the offseason programs.
It's hard to say it's hard to know without being there what the true depth of
all
this,
I know
like,
is I'm loving it from I mean kind of like harassing the Packers fans I know.
Oh yeah.
In terms of like
seeing the Packers
especially,
in the news a lot.
Like
more
we had him on our podcast the one time, Zach Kinger, and he it's just funny to mess with him. Like every time I tell him, like any little tiny bit of news, he send him. Aaron Rodgers is gone, and he's like, "No, this is BS. No way. No, he's staying. You guys, this is ridiculous."
Well, you know the Packers. You know the State Farm didn't give him the Rodgers discount. And, you know Rodgers isn't giving the Packers the Rodgers discount. So,
Yeah, it would be. I mean, it would definitely be shocking. I would think he's staying too.
But from a competitive standpoint, I want him playing because I want to beat their ass with Rodgers behind the helm. You know, forget this. You know, let's get Rodgers out. So let's beat them anyway. Let's be the best team in the league and beat everybody, whoever they are. So,
well, I think Rodgers heard about you know the Lions starting to bite off some kneecaps, and he wanted out of the division fast. That's my guess.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Is there any other sound players that you guys wanted to discuss in terms of any other standouts?
I read about DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. I have just been destroying coverage in camp so far. Like in 7-on-7s, they're saying they're like uncoverable, and they're just getting this. The article I read said that he'd be surprised if they don't catch more, at least 60 catches this year. So, I mean, that's a good sign.
Swift could be our leading receiver this year. He says he can catch 75 passes. Swift said that.
No.
I mean, can you imagine our running back is our leading receiver? I hope that's not the case, but you never know.
I mean, if it is, that's probably could be a good thing. He's probably doing really good at it, but.
Do you know who has the most catches in an NFL season?
There, so.
From the running back position? From the running back position.
Jerry Rice?
Oh. Kamara. I don't know.
Ooh.
Mm-mm. He doesn't get used enough.
Would have been my guess, too. I'm going to go with
Christian McCaffrey. 106 catches.
Wow. 106 he got from that?
Oh,
he's
an
every down back, you know. That helps a lot, too.
But, that's crazy. I would not imagine Swift being used that much in this offense.
Me neither.
Even it would be cool.
We'd burn him out quickly.
right. But I do look forward to seeing him use in the slots more and actually catching the ball, you know, not dropping it at the end of a game.
Well, hey, come on. It was a rookie year. Made one mistake. We can't.
First game. His first game.
I know. But, you know, let's not hold it against him.
It got us a better draft pick in the end. So
it did. If you think about it, yeah.
Small victory, I guess.
Anyway, our running back room, between him and Williams, I think they're going to be really exciting this year. Very exciting. And I think they'll probably be the best in the league at touchdown celebrations. I got a weird feeling. Jamal Williams, yeah. So
it's going to be Jamal Williams. Watch.
Yeah. For sure. Do we have any other names that we want to bring up before we move on?
You know, I got a quick question here. You know, we talk a little bit about the Lions coaching staff over the last couple pods, and we're pretty excited about the staff overall and their experience as players and things like that. What coach or coaches excite you the most? Leaving Campbell out of it, assistant coaches excite you the most for what they can bring to the team and how they can help the team.
Are we excluding coordinators?
No, coordinators, anyone but Campbell, all right? Not the head coach.
I mean, I've loved the hiring of Aaron Glenn. I think Aaron Glenn, a lot of people wanted him this year as a defense coordinator in Lions land him. I think he is, I mean, he's been around the league for a long time, but I still think he's kind of an up-and-comer. I think he's kind of undiscovered talent, defensive mind, and I think he's going to get these guys in the right place at the right time. And Aubrey Pleasant, the defensive backs coach he brought over from St. Louis as well, I think is a big plus as well, especially for developing Okuda into a top tier cornerback like we'd like to see. We saw that over in St. Louis, although, or LA, St. Louis.
Yeah.
But I will say the only thing that makes you skeptical, Aubrey Pleasant, is it's a lot easier to be a defensive backs coach when you have Aaron Donald in the center of your defensive line. So without an Aaron Donald there, because I forgot which coach said it.
True.
I think maybe it was Sean McVay or maybe it was Aaron Glenn, but they said the best cornerback in the league is Aaron Donald because he disrupts the pass so much. So those are the two I would say.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Go ahead.
I'm excited about Antoine Randle-L as the receivers coach. I think he was just one of such a good player and seemed like such a heady player with Pittsburgh and stuff. And I think it'll be really good to get the most out of, not the best wide receiving core on paper, but a bunch of guys coming in with talent and chips on their shoulders.
Didn't he coach Perriman too?
Like him, I think will really help.
Didn't he
in Tampa Bay? Yeah.
Yeah. He coached Perriman at Tampa.
Was it him? Yeah. And that was his best year.
With Jameis Winston.
Like that.
Yeah.
I was really excited because I always liked
it. I agree. I mean, there's so many guys I like here. I like all your picks, but I kind of close between two. I really like Deuce Staley as the running back coach and assistant head coach. Everything I read about this guy, he's just bringing some kind of energy to the team.
And the players love him.
And I have a feeling the running back crew is just going to be something under this guy. I just can feel it. And the other guy who's a close second maybe is Mark Brunell. I think Mark Brunell's experience is going to help Jared Goff immensely. I remember watching Brunell play for a lot of years, and I always wonder how this guy just kept going. And he was always a good quarterback. You know, maybe he wasn't Brady-esque or Manning-esque or whatever, but he was always a really good, solid quarterback, and he played for a lot of years. And he was just a very smart, heady guy. I think his experience is really going to help Goff out here as Goff, makes his
You seen the videos of Mark Brunell getting involved in some of the workouts and stuff? The quarterbacks are they're working on footwork, going sideways and working over pads, and in the middle of the pads, throw it to a guy. It's like Mark Brunell. He's catching and quick releasing it right back to him. He's super involved running around.
Cool.
He's really enjoying himself out there. He's definitely an energy guy, or trying to bring a lot of energy to the.
I think all these guys are. I think all these guys are. I think these guys are going to need a break on Monday just to tone down from all the energy they've been experiencing for the last week. You know, they're going to need a day off to unwind, from all the energy.
Yeah. Oh, another guy. I'm just going to bring him up because he's not technically a coach, but I haven't seen any videos, but I've heard Spielman's been out on the field, checking it with these, getting in the trenches with guys and stuff, doing drills. The fact that he's out there helping, giving tips, in an unofficial capacity, at least coaching wise, I think that's a nice little
Absolutely. Sure, and that's just more like the top down leadership going on right now into the new organization. At least what they're trying to bring. Will it work? Time will tell. But
what do you mean? Yes, it will. Of course it will.
It's definitely way different than anything we've experienced. at least in my lifetime. UJ, I don't know if there's been anything like this. This type of...
Coaching-wise, I can never remember anything like this, what we're seeing here. Just the level of excitement and the depth of the quality of these guys. I mean, the fact that they're all... They weren't just all ex-players, really good players. I mean, there's some really quality guys here. And just the energy that I'm sensing from all this, it's got to be good. I've never really sensed anything quite like this before in the past.
It's exciting. It's absolutely exciting. And it started at the top. And kind of going off that energy, I wanted to kind of transition to the second part of just did you guys get a chance to watch that Into the Den or whatever the video series the Lions put out?
Yeah, so good.
Usually I kind of skim over that, but everybody was talking about there's a lot of comments going around about it, so I ended up watching it. It was fun to see, and just like the amount of transparency that we've seen out of this regime so far.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable compared to what I mean. This right? It couldn't be any more opposite from the last one.
Oh, you're not
but
kidding.
Even for other organizations, I've never seen this much transparency. And what I'm talking about is like, go ahead.
Yeah, like you actually believe it. I say you actually believe it when they say things like they actually were planning on trading down or considering trading down to get Anzarike. And stuff like that, because then they show this video and it's just like, well, they were lying.
Right. Yeah. Everything they said in their interview since then has been true. Like they said, you would have thought like the team missed a game winning field goal when they drafted Sewell. And then did you guys see the reaction to them?
Oh, yeah.
Their war room when they found out Waddle was being taken and that they were going to be able to get Sewell.
Just fantastic.
I'd never seen a room react like that to get a player. they were jumping up and down and hugging. And it was like they won the Super Bowl already.
Yeah. All you Lions fans, you ought to check that video out. It's worth it.
Yeah. And to Den, it's on the Lions social media pages. But yeah, definitely. Definitely worth a view. You were mentioning Rud Dog that I mean they said like I think Sheila Ford Camp brought up what are we gonna do about receiver, and they're like, well, we still got our Amon-Ra St. Brown on our board, and that was like 30 picks before they actually had the chance, and then they end up getting them. I thought that was kind of fun to see. Yeah, like you said, they were trying to trade up, and they mentioned that they were trying to, and they had a legit phone call about it. So, yeah, no.
Right, because like so many teams say, oh, you know, we really like this guy. We were probably going to try to trade up for him just to make it sound like they actually got the guy they wanted. And you're just, you just wonder if that's just all hype to make it sound good because you just invested a lot in this guy and you don't want to make it sound like you reached or something. And that, they seem genuine on all fronts, and I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they were also really excited about the Iffy draft pick as well.
Yeah.
They had him way higher on their board, probably than maybe, obviously, than other teams because we ended up drafting him. But they.
You're right. Speaking of Iffy, actually, he did make some plays. I've heard he's been making plays in camp too. Now that I'm just sorry to flashback there, but
oh good. Yeah, I mean that solid guy has the athletic ability to do something in the NFL if he's put in the right position. That's what I'm excited about. Aaron Glenn at least I believe he can put these guys in the right position to succeed.
Yeah.
And in the modern NFL, I feel like Matt Patricia's defense is not meant for the way NFL defenses should be run these days.
He's lucky his dad took him back to New England.
Oh, my goodness. And then Dan Campbell's a visual delight in that thing, too. He's
oh, that's right, brother. He's join the team. Have some Copenhagen and enjoy the ride.
He might have some ADHD or something. He's moving around all the time. He's having an absolute blast.
Yeah.
Brad Holmes, too. Like, that energy, man. Like, that's why it's so, it's so top bottom. Like when you talk about never seeing anything like this, I've never seen it where every part of the organization is just so hyped and so energetic.
Absolutely. And it's so funny to me that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, like, didn't know each other before this.
Yeah.
Like,
really? They seem like best friends. Really? I mean,
yeah, they have a great chemistry together.
No, I love it. I love Campbell's.
You want to go do karate in the garage?
I love Campbell's humbleness. Like, just, you know, I just, you know, no ego when it comes to this stuff. If I need help, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to put good guys around me. I'm going to ask. I don't know everything. I mean, yeah. I think he's got a really refreshing attitude about it. You know, his ego's not going to get in the way of us winning like some other coaches in the past.
Fat coaches with beards, yeah, and pencils in their ears.
Guys.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody in this organization now, like, looks like they enjoy coming to work every day with, like, an immense amount of enthusiasm. That's just what you love to see. So,
I just want to say, cause from a personal perspective, I've had people like this in my life. There's something to be said for building up through positive energy and not like that negative breakdown energy that like Trisha tried to enact. And these guys are all about, you know, criticism meant to build and encourage and get these guys the best out of their players by encouraging them. And I think that is just, I personally think that's the best way to do things. So I can't think of a better way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, but we shall see. We shall see if it works. But right now, it's definitely a lot of Kool-Aid flowing. A lot of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, baby. Kool-Aid tastes so good this time of year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so, I mean, like we said at the top, not a lot of news really going on this time of year. But nonetheless, we can talk about the Lions for, you know, as long as... We breathe.
Ever and ever.
But we want to thank everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. We'll have more content coming at you going forward here. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast. Please subscribe and please download your podcast. Really appreciate it. And please leave a review. We'd really appreciate that as well. We really do. The bad.
We love you guys.
Love you, man.
We really appreciate it because we take that feedback and we try to improve when we can. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, go!
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go! Go.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.